Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Now showing on aerocinema.com.
The end of 1941 saw German ace Adolf Galland promoted to General of the Fighters. In part two of AeroCinema's exclusive series, Galland takes us inside Hitler's inner circle and reveals the secret plans for one of World War II's boldest operations, Operation Thunderbolt, the Channel Dash.
Hitler, he wanted to have the capital ships in Norway. He said he knew that this operation would be extremely dangerous.
Galland pilots us through the collapse of Germany, the infighting in the Luftwaffe High Command, and the follies of Hitler and Göring.
He did not understand what was going on. Hitler's thinking was only aggressive. He could only follow the bomber.
Discover what inspired Galland to continue fighting in a war all but lost, and the one aircraft which might have changed history.
And the population is suffering in such a terrible way that we have a good weapon, we have to continue to fight.
Join us as we learn about the man behind the legend, Adolf Galland, the fighter general.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show. If you're interested in radio-controlled scale models, join us every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern for our live show. We'll be covering the latest news in RC Scale and have some great interviews every week. That's every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. with rebroadcast throughout the week, the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Reminding you that radio engines don't leak oil. They just mark their territory. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
Hi, and welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. Today is Tuesday, November 23rd, 2010, and I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and we're glad you could join us tonight. Of course, if you're listening to the show live, right here is the place to be tonight, so we're glad you're here. If you're listening to the podcast, try and tune in one Tuesday night if possible. We'd love to have you listen live and participate. Also, don't forget that all through the show, if you'd like to ask any questions or make any comments, you can give us a call at 478-787-4768, or if you have Skype, which is a free downloadable program, you can Skype us at Warbird Radio, or you can shoot us an email at live, L-I-V-E, at rcscalebuilder.com. I want to welcome back our guest tonight. Tonight we have Mr. Mike Gray of Skyshark RC. Mike, glad you could come back on the RC Scale Builder Show tonight. I can't talk for some reason.
thank you for the invitation, and I appreciate it.
Oh, it's no problem. Look, you know, a lot of people are really moving toward electrics, and you guys are right in there with them. But before we get into all that, why don't you tell us a little bit about Skyshark RC for those that aren't familiar with you guys?
Well, we started this company. Actually, it was bought out from a different company about 9 years ago. And we specialize in making Warbird kits. We do all the laser cutting, vacuform parts, all the different parts and decal sets, things like that ourselves. Besides that, we also do a complete line of electric conversion products, mostly with outrunner motors, lithium polymer batteries, things like that. Everything that you can convert your gas-powered airplane to electric with. And that's kind of we shifted focus for a couple years into the electric. We were very heavy into the electric side of things, and now we're getting back into the kit end of things. We're seeing a lot more demand there. So that's kind of one of our big focuses right now, right along with the electric.
Gotcha. Well, that's good to hear. You know, Skyshark RC kits are known for being, you know, a high quality Warbird kit, and I think a lot of people miss them not being on the market. But, you know, let's talk a little bit about electrics first, because, I mean, that kind of goes hand in hand with kits, obviously. You know, last time you were here, you kind of gave us a basic education about electrics and the different components. And what kind of things are going on in that part of the hobby now that are kind of new and exciting? Anything special?
Well, you know, I think the electric is still growing. I think a lot of that growth is in smaller type airplanes, probably 40 size and smaller.
Mm-hmm.
It still hasn't progressed into the 60 size airplanes or beyond that at a large scale. I mean, it's still a little bit costly. It's a little complex. But we're seeing, you know, a lot of smaller electric conversions being done. Right now, you know, the big thing seems to be electric ducted fan jets. And that's where we're seeing a lot of the electric side of things going towards. And, you know, I kind of saw this coming a few years ago. I said, you know, it's a lot easier than a regular ducted fan or even a turbine. A person could get into, you know, a small electric jet for you know, $100 if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And still a lot of that that side of things is still progressing fast. The technology in the batteries is progressing. Even the motors are getting a little bit more powerful. You know, the prices are coming down on everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it affords a lot of people to be able to do electric that couldn't afford to, or that perhaps Glow Power was less expensive before. Now what we're seeing is that, you know, the electric side of things is comparable in price to the Glow side of things on those smaller airplanes. So, you know, I think I also see a lot of newcomers to the hobby who are starting off with electric because it's easier.
Right.
Once you learn the basics of it, of course, people who have flown Glow and Gas, of course, know that that's pretty easy too. But I think the electric side of things is cleaner. People without a lot of storage room, things like that, they can just take a small electric plane and, you know, throw it in their bedroom and slide it under the bed and pull it out whenever they want and throw it in the car and go fly.
Gotcha. Well, you know, that's kind of interesting. You brought up an interesting point. You know, one question I hear a lot is, you know, the price of batteries seems to be dropping quite a bit. Is that because, you know, it looks like that the Chinese have ramped up for manufacturing these batteries, and are they just pumping them out at such a huge rate the price is dropping because of that, or what do you attribute that to?
Yeah, what's happening, I believe what that's attributed to is one or two companies in China are marketing direct.
Uh-huh.
So what they're doing is they're selling the batteries direct into the U.S. at the same price or lower than they would sell regular importers, distributors before.
Right.
And a lot of the batteries that are coming out of there are you know, pretty good quality. The quality is all over the board. So basically, and the prices are all over the board too. So basically the best thing to do if you're in the market for new batteries is, you know, go listen to word of mouth, find good reputable sources, and find a battery that works good for your application. Not every battery will work good for every application. You know, a lot of it is how you treat the battery, what type of plane you're flying it in, how many amps you're pulling from it. But, you know, I've seen batteries, you know, as low as a couple dollars a piece, and some people sell the same battery or the same size battery for $30 or $40.
Mm-hmm.
But you never really know until you've run the battery and until you've gotten, you know, a few discharges on it to know if it's going to last you for more than 10 cycles or if it's going to die on your 10th cycle.
Right, and that's, I guess that's where, you know, the customer service part of it comes in. Is you may be saving a few dollars on a cheap battery, but you may not get the support if something goes wrong.
Yeah, and that's you know, one thing that I personally don't like is when I have when I buy a battery or something, and it starts to degrade after, you know, 10 discharges. Mm-hmm. And, you know, me personally, I'd rather spend the extra money to at least have something that I know when I charge up in the morning, I can go out to the field and know it's going to perform.
Right.
Taking a chance and hoping that it does.
Exactly.
And, you know, but I think that's the main thing. But as far as that, I see the batteries are priced very reasonably now.
Yeah.
With the price of glow fuel, it's hard to compete with the battery price.
That's very true. Folks, by the way, if you'd like to join in on the conversation or if you have a question for Mike, pick up the phone, grab your cell phone, or grab Skype. You can call us at 478-787-4768. Or if you have Skype, you can Skype us at Warbird Radio or shoot us an email and we'll read your question on the air. You can send us an email to live, L-I-V-E, at rcscalebuilder.com, and we'll get it on. We'll try and read it for you. Well, that's kind of interesting. You know, that I've heard a lot of people talking about that, and I appreciate you clearing that up. I kind of assumed that was the case, that, you know, that they were being dumped over here, and, you know, you get what you pay for, you know, basically.
Yeah, you know, it seems like I see a lot of people who use the batteries direct out of China from all different brands.
Mm-hmm.
And even the ones that we get in, of course, we're buying them from China. We have a factory that we've dealt with for at least 5 or 6 years. And they've always put out a good quality product. But even when we get our batteries in, we have to test each battery. And we end up with, you know, usually 10 or 15% of them are just bad. We just have to throw them away because either the voltage isn't balanced correctly or one of the cells is weak, something like that.
Right.
And, you know, that's also true for speed controllers and motors are kind of the same way. We have to test every single thing we get in. So basically, if you buy it direct from China, you can figure that 15 to 20% of the time, you know, you're going to end up with something that's bad.
Right, right.
That's kind of been my experience over the years. So, but if you're willing to take that risk, you know, it's if it gets more people into the hobby and, you know, and gets some people to try the hobby because they can go electric now for a price that's within their budget, then it's a good thing.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's amazing to me how many people have been drawn into the hobby from electric ARFs, you know, like these ready to go packages that, you know, that like Hangar 9 sells and so on and so forth that are just plug and play, you know, and it's really good. I think it's really good for the hobby. Like you said, long term, we'll get a lot of more people into the hobby that want something a little different down the road. Before you know it, they're building kits. So,
yeah, you know, that's exactly true. Even in our shop, we sell ready-to-fly kits, things like that. We get, I would say, 99% of the people that come in that are new to the hobby buy a ready-to-fly airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And about 90% of those people buy an electric one. But, you know, I don't recall ever having sold a fly set to somebody who hasn't come back and bought an airplane or even decided that they want to build a kit and try that to give them something to do.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's kind of neat. You know, well, let's talk a little bit about the conversion kits. This fascinates me because you guys have kind of made it where it's almost idiot-proof, or as I like to say, mic-proof. You know, Mike Chilson proof, to where even I can do it. You know, even a caveman like me can do it. You know, so
sure.
Tell us a little bit about your conversion kits.
Well, a lot of the kits we've had ever since we started into electric, we put together specific conversion packages for people based on airplane weight, flying style, things like that. They come with the appropriate size motor, speed controller, and battery. And we tried to match the motor to a comparable size glow motor. Let's say you're flying an OS-46. We tried to match that electric setup to give you the same RPMs, the same type of power as that OS-46.
Yeah.
And that's kind of been the goal. Although it's getting more complicated because there's a lot more different styles of airplanes out there. There's different motor speeds. You know, there's a much larger selection of batteries, battery sizes, things like that. So, you know, a lot of times we end up just talking on the phone with most of the people saying, okay, what airplane do you have? Okay, this is the package that you would want for that airplane if you want to fly like this. And, you know, a lot of the packages, I personally put together in airplanes and fly them and see what they do. And I'm always here tweaking something or replacing a motor with a bigger one or a smaller one or doing something like that. But it's almost to the point now where I've done enough and been around electric enough where I can just kind of take a look at the airplane and say, okay, this is what it's going to need, and this is how it's going to fly. And a lot of that, you know, a lot of that has to do with just being around electric and knowing how much power a certain type of motor is going to put out. So it's just, you know, most people will learn that after they've been around electric for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, you're constantly learning.
You know, we try our best to make this as complex as possible, so it looks really hard to other people. But
I would imagine,
like you said, after a while, it's just like the glow engines. You look at a plane and say, "Oh, that's a 46," you know, or a 40 size plane. And well, we got an email in from Chris in Texas, and he wants to know if you sell a conversion kit for an airplane that uses a 4-stroke 90 glow engine.
Yes, we've got a conversion kit. Roughly, we call it our Lightning 75.
Okay.
It's actually a 75 size motor, but you can change that amount of power by the number of cells you put in the battery. It starts out with a 6-cell battery, and you can actually go up to an 8-cell. And with an 8-cell, you get about the same power as a 91 two-stroke. Or 100 two-stroke, but with a 6-cell, that gives you about the same power as a 91 four-stroke.
Interesting. Okay, Chris, there you go. Just check out their website at skysharkrc.com or give them a call, and I'm sure they'll be happy to set you up.
Sure.
Well, you know, another interesting thing about the conversion kits, why don't you kind of run down the range of what you guys sell as far as conversion kits, since we had that question?
Well, okay, there's everything. We've just got a new kit for a ducted fan.
Mm-hmm.
It's for a 70 millimeter fan unit. A lot of the jets are out there, like the Haboos and the E-Flight F-86s. There's a lot of the jets out there that take that size fan unit. And we just made a reasonably priced conversion for that. From there on, it starts from like an 08 size glow motor all the way up to a 50 cc gas.
Okay.
And most of those are running, you know, like the 08 would run a 10 amp speed controller, where the 50 cc would run like a 100 amp controller.
Right.
So it's not really out of anybody's price range, you know. It would actually be less expensive than the comparable glow motor to get those conversions at this point.
I got you. Okay. Well, we got another question in from David Mahaffey, and he had a question regarding your website. He says, I've noticed that on your website you mentioned more accessories such as servos, radios, and some building materials such as epoxy. Are there plans to expand the website to include more products so you can purchase them online?
Yes, we've been operating a full line shop, hobby shop, for about 2 years now.
Okay.
And it's taken a little focus away from the online business because we've been pretty busy. But we're trying to get all of our products listed online. We're actually in the process of moving to a new building and kind of expanding everything. That end of the business has been really, really good for us. It gives us a lot of hands-on experience with everybody coming in the door, you know, wanting to electrify this and electrify that. And so that's something that we, you know, there's pricing issues we have to contend with and things like that. But hopefully in the next 6 months here, we'll have, you know, most of our line available online, and we're also going to be doing a catalog too.
Okay, cool. That's good to hear. Folks, once again, if you'd like to join in the conversation or have a question for Mike, you can give us a call at 478-787-4768, Skype us at Warbird Radio, or shoot us an email like these folks have by emailing us at live@rcscalebuilder.com. Well, I tell you what, let's move on a little bit. Well, I tell you what, we got a caller. How about that? Good evening, caller. You're on the air. Who are we speaking with?
Hello, Mr. Mike and the other Mr. Mike. This is Ron Burke from Houston.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, Ron. How's things going?
Mr. Gray, there's a lot of ignorance on my part coming from this, but it seems like the complaint that I hear from people the most about electrics is the duration of flight, you know, with the battery open to them, you know, looking at 6 or 8 minutes or, you know, 10 minutes if you manage your speed controller or your throttle pretty carefully. Are there ways that you can increase the efficiency? Can you go, like, if you're using a 75 size motor, can you go to the next size motor up and then fly at a lower throttle setting for less consumption or different battery packs? Or how does that work?
Okay, that's one of the drawbacks to electric flight. That's what you give up when you convert an airplane from glow. You give up flight time. And going to a larger motor and cutting it back will not necessarily save you any battery or flight time, because basically what you're doing is you still need that amount of power to run that bigger motor. So even though you're flying at a slower speed, you're still pushing that much power through that motor. The motors usually have an efficiency rating on them, and it's best to run them within that rating, and that'll give you the most flight time and be, I guess, give you the lightest weight airplane that you're going to fly. You're right, though. The average flight time for an electric plane is between 7 to 10 minutes, probably. So the only way you can really get more flight time is adding more batteries. And, of course, if you add more batteries, you're going to be putting more weight into it. So a lot of the bigger airplanes with a very low wing loading, no problem. I mean, you can stack those up with batteries, and you can have flight times for as long as you want. Right now I'm flying the Hangar 9 Taylor craft, and I've got our 150 size motor in it. And with that, I can fly that thing about quarter throttle, and I get about 15 minutes of flight time on a 8-cell 5,000 milliamp battery pack. So it just depends on the airplane. You know, for warbirds, you know, you're looking at pretty high wing loading. Most people like more power than scale flying requires. But you know, I think still the average in a warbird is probably 8 minutes. The ones that I'm flying, that's about what I'm getting out of them. And I'm just reluctant to add more batteries to it because of the weight.
Well, actually, 8 minutes is not that bad.
Yeah.
You know, that's within a minute or so what people normally fly, I think.
That's what
what I usually do is bring about 5 sets of batteries to the field. So
are you better off now, with think, multiple packs or do that. Recharging? You say you bring multiple packs. Are you better off having additional battery packs, or what's the turnaround time if you're recharging at the field?
Okay, like our battery packs, we recommend usually a 2 to 3C charge rate, which means you could fully charge a battery in a half hour or less. Usually when I'm charging mine, I'll charge them at a 2C rate, which gives me about a half hour recharge time. There's also batteries out there that you can charge up to 5C, although you have to have a powerful enough charger to be able to do that. So you know, you're talking recharge times, maybe 10 minutes, 15 at the most.
About 30 seconds.
So, you know, it all depends how you want to do it. And sometimes if I'm going to an event, I'll take a generator or something like that, just a small one, and I can sit there and just keep charging batteries and keep flying all day long.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for the call, Ron. It's a good question. You know, while we're on questions, we got one more for you. Alan Oliver wrote in via email, and he says, a lot of the disadvantages with electric is lack of sound. What's the best way to get the sound from an electric plane for an authentic roar of, say, a radio engine or so forth?
Okay. Well, the best way I've found is get a big three-blade master air screw prop, the biggest, ugliest prop you can get, and spin it real fast.
Yeah.
It makes a pretty good roar. But otherwise, you know, there are some sound generators that will replicate an engine sound, but I haven't tested any personally. So, you know, as you go up in size, they actually do get pretty loud. Not anything like a radial engine, but they do make a pretty good racket. It's not like they're perfectly quiet. The small ones, of course, are pretty quiet. You don't really hear them going through the air. But anything I would say over a 150 size airplane, like an 82 inch plane or bigger, by the time you get a 3-blade or a 4-blade prop on there, they put out some pretty good sound.
Yeah, that's another advantage of, you know, the electrics, obviously, is you can swing a closer to scale prop on a scale bird.
That's right. I normally run at least 3-blade props on my warbirds. I've had some people do 4, even 5-blade props.
That's right.
So you really don't have any disadvantage to running a multi-blade prop on an electric. Other than maybe you give up maybe a little bit of speed, as far as power output and everything else, they run much better on an electric than on a glow or a gas.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's neat. Yeah, there are some sound systems out there, Alan, that you can put in your plane. But once again, it's kind of size prohibitive, like Mike said. You know, once.
All right, apologize for the technical difficulty here. We will reconnect with Mike Chilson in our Birmingham studio right after this. Stand by, folks. The RC Scale Builder Show will continue right here on Warbird Radio.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for Wix Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcasts throughout the week. You've been on the Wix Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics in Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. Wix wants to hear from you. Again, that's Wix Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Now showing on AeroCinema.com.
The end of 1941 saw German ace Adolf Galland promoted to General of the Fighters. In part two of AeroCinema's exclusive series, Galland takes us inside Hitler's inner circle and reveals the secret plans for one of World War II's boldest operations, Operation Thunderbolt, the Channel Dash.
Hitler, he wanted to have the capital ships in Norway. He said he knew that this operation would be extremely dangerous.
Gallant pilots us to the collapse of Germany, the infighting in the Luftwaffe High Command, and the follies of Hitler and Göring.
He did not understand what was going on. Hitler's thinking was only aggressive. He could only follow the bomber.
Discover what inspired Gallant to continue fighting in a war all but lost, and the one aircraft which might have changed history.
And the population is suffering in such a terrible way that we have a good weapon. We have to continue to fight.
Join us as we learn about the man behind the legend, Adolf Gallant, the fighter general.
Live from the land of the free, because of the brave, this is Warbird Radio.
And we're back from the break. Sorry about that little technical foobar there. Sometimes we're a slave to the internet, and that was one of the cases where we were. Well, Mike, we appreciate you coming tonight and talking to us. And folks, we're talking with Mike Gray at Skyshark right now. And this is probably a good time. You got kind of an announcement about the Skyshark kits. Would you like to tell folks about that?
Yeah, sure. We recently have begun making the kits again. We had enough response that we just felt that there wasn't anything good out there that people could build that was original. So we are bringing back the kits. We have the Val kit, the Stuka, the Avenger, and the Dauntless, and we're actually working on releasing all the other ones. Hopefully in the next month or two we'll have everything back into production. We are working on a couple new ones also. And that should be done, well, hopefully when I get time and get it finished up. But there's not much work to do on it yet. So, but yeah, we're looking forward to that.
That's fantastic news, man. I know a lot of people have missed your kits being on the market. And people ask about them all the time. So I'm personally very glad to see them back. And I don't want to, give away any secrets, but you've told me about some of the ones you're working on. And I'm really excited about some of those. I think everyone will enjoy that.
Yeah, we're just trying to keep everything original and something that nobody else has done.
Absolutely. Well, that's fantastic news. And there you go, folks. You heard it first here on the RC Scale Builder Show. The Skyshark kits are on their way back, so be sure and be on the lookout for them on their website. And like you said, you can order a few of them now. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. We've got about four of them. Hopefully a few more available in the next couple days here.
Well, super. That's great news. Well, Mike, I cannot thank you enough for coming on the show tonight. I know you're a busy man, and I appreciate you taking the time out to come and talk to us.
Sure, it's always a pleasure.
And let me just take this opportunity to publicly thank you for Skyshark's support of RC Scale Builder. You've been with us since the beginning, you and Angie have, and we appreciate you guys more than you realize.
Yeah, I just can't seem to get away from it.
I hear you. It's kind of an addiction, even for me. So, well, look, buddy, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. And will you come back again and fill us in with more great new news like you did tonight?
You bet. That would be great.
Super. Well, look, I appreciate it. And folks, once again, if you'd like to check out their website, you can find them at skysharkrc.com. You can also go to the episode post in the RC Scale Builder Show forum, and Mike's information is there, so you can check them out. And be sure and tell them that you heard about them on the RC Scale Builder Show. So anyway, well, thanks again, Mike, and we'll let you get back to work, and we're gonna move on to the next segment of the show. But can't wait for you to come back and tell that wonderful wife of yours hello for me.
I'll do that. Thank you.
All right, folks. That was Mike Gray from Skyshark RC, and it looks like next up we have our buddy David Mahaffey from to do our segment on Inside RCSB. Good evening, David. Are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing, Mike?
Man, I tell you what, if I was any better, I would be you.
You would?
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty sad, man.
Well, I don't know. I know who you've got there holding your hands right now, so, you know. Just joking with you, buddy.
I have nothing to say.
Hey, so you've been prowling around the site this week looking for a kind of what we like to call a sleeper thread. And what we mean by that is it's a really, really good thread, but it just doesn't get the exposure that some of the other ones do. So we want to make sure everyone knows about it. So why don't you tell us what you have for us this week?
Well, I found a really good one this week, Mike. It's in the Brian Taylor forum, mm-hmm. And I think, you know, Brian Taylor gets a lot of threads in there, and a lot of good threads, really good builders doing stuff. But I came across one that's pretty close to my heart, a certain airplane anyways, and it's the title of the thread is a BF-109F4, 61-inch span. And the author is G. Find, also known as Paul, and he's from New Zealand, and he is, wouldn't you know, he's working on his, as far as I can tell, his first electric aircraft.
Wow.
So.
but very timely.
Yeah, I just happened to realize, I was like, hey, this thing's electric, and, well, what are you guys talking about tonight? Electric.
Yeah.
So it kind of goes along with the show here. Anyways, you know, it's a really good thread to look at. I mean, it's, you know, he's just kind of diving into it, and he's learning on the way about, you know, selecting certain the components for, you know, the electric components as far as the motor and batteries, etc. But there's a couple pages I wanted to highlight here, and one of them is on page 8. He's using a really unique method to do his exhaust for this, and I believe it's called like a plunge mold method. And I don't think I've really come across it until now, and that's one of the things that just kind of captured my attention on, is that that's, as far as I could tell, is a pretty unique way of doing this. Anyways, basically what he's done is taken about a 30,000th of an inch styrene and put it on a plate with the shape cut out already, and then heated the styrene up and then plunged the shape into it to create his exhaust halves, and then he glues them together.
Gotcha.
So that'd be one of the pages to check out. And then the other page is the very next page where he starts his canopy build, which, you know, some of those canopies on those 109s can be pretty fun to build.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a really, really good thread to check out. The guy, he takes his time, make sure everything is, well, you know, built straight and aligned. And it's just a great example of what you could do with a smaller plane. So.
Well, that's neat. You know, when you told me about this thread, I went and looked at it also. And, you know, the great part about a thread like this is someone, like you said, who's just diving in and learning as they go. And what's great about that is, since he's kind of, you know, recording that and writing down what he's learning, people in the same position are benefiting from that. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's really neat. It's a great thread, and that's going to be a fabulous model. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait to see when it's done.
Yeah, so, well, that's great. Well, folks, we'll have that thread link posted in the episode post in the RC Scale Builder Show forum, so be sure and check that out after the show. And, David, I guess we'll check in with you in about 3 more weeks, maybe, somewhere around there. I have to look at the holidays. I'm not quite sure how we're going to do the holiday shows. We'll probably skip a couple, so you may get a week off.
Oh, man.
Well, look, I appreciate you coming on the show and letting us know about this thread. And thanks again for taking the time to do that. And folks, stick around, and we're going to jump right into the trivia question here in just a minute. Thanks again, David, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Later, guys.
All right. Thanks. All right, folks, that was David Mahaffey with our Inside RCSB segment. Next week, I believe we have Ron Berga. I have to check. Golly, it's confusing to me. You know, I just have too many people doing segments now. But, man, I'm glad you're here listening. A couple things to go over before we get into the trivia question. We're kind of a week behind it, but last week was our 1 year of doing this show, and I want to thank everyone involved with it, Matt, all the people who do segments, our guests, and especially the listeners. I really appreciate you guys supporting us through the last year. The show's grown enormously in the last year, and we expect it to grow that much again in 2011. So thanks for that. Also, you may have noticed, if you're a regular on the site, we've got the site moved to the new hardware, and things have stabilized, and things actually seem a little faster now. So I'm pretty excited about that, and that's another step toward us, you know, getting the new site. We had to do this first, so we're on our way there. But I want to bring in our producer, Matt Jolly, and so we can discuss this trivia question, because this is kind of an interesting one.
Hey, Mike, how are you this evening? Good
I'm doing great, buddy. How about you?
Well, you actually have something to attend to here on your Facebook page here. Posted for the show, we had a theme song request, and I think this might be a winner. You want to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
This is, let me figure out who this is from. Well, who it's from, we'll say afterwards. But here's an idea. This could have some merit. I'll let you hear it.
What goes up must come down.
Yeah, anyway. The guy kind of looks like you, too, you know what I mean? So, blood, sweat, and tears there. What goes up must come down.
But, oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, yeah. Todd left that, huh?
Yeah, Todd. Todd left that. I was trying to get to the...
Awesome.
So, anyway,
well, see, there's another one.
Yeah, that could happen.
Absolutely. So. You never know. So, So what do you say we do this trivia question? Did
Let's
I send it.
It
to you?
No, actually you did, but I haven't read it.
Okay,
I don't like to read the trivia question. Anytime I see it, I kind of skip over it. So I hit
okay.
it whenever you're ready, sir.
Well, okay, folks, if you would like to win some Zap Glue tonight and a Aerocinema DVD, preview DVD, all you got to do is call us, Skype us, or email us the answer to the following trivia question. And I'm going to tell you that you stand a much better chance of winning if you call us, because it's just faster. Okay. Yeah. So let's kick this off. This is the Meister trivia question segment of the show. And I want to thank Meister for supplying the Zap Glue that we give away each week. Dino's a great supporter of this show, and we really appreciate it. So here's our trivia question. Okay, get your dialing finger ready. Okay, if you look there on the player, it has the phone number and it has the Skype address. So give us a call one of those two ways. And the number, if you can't read,
right,
is 478-787-4768, or Skype us at Warbird Radio. Or, of course, you can email the answer in, but that's going to be the slowest way. Okay, here's our question for tonight. In honor of my Christmas present to myself, anyone who's a regular listener should pick up on that hint.
I can't believe you're going to talk about a Snuggie.
That's no, a not a Snuggie. That's your Christmas present,
right,
not mine.
Right. The RC Subbuilder Snuggie.
Yeah.
On the way. Go ahead.
Okay, here's the question, folks. What famous American World War I pilot flew a SPAD 13 and was awarded 26 confirmed kills? Once again, what famous American World War I pilot flew a SPAD 13 and was awarded 26 confirmed kills? If you think you know the answer, give us a call at 478-787-4768. Skype us at Warbird Radio, or shoot us an email at live@rcscalebuilder.com. We'd love to hear from you.
That's a good
so,
one. That's a
yeah,
really
it
good
is.
Trivia question. I have to think about that one for a little while.
It's not too hard, not too easy, you know. We gave you enough details there that you can work it out. So if you think you know the answer, be sure and give us a call. And be sure and check out the latest offerings of kits and accessories from MeisterScale.com. So you think you know the answer to this, Matt?
Nope.
Really?
No, I've been looking at it. I'm looking at it right now, trying to figure out what it is. So I think I do know now.
I bet you do.
I think I do.
This is a pretty high profile guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess while we wait for someone to call or
looks
email
like you
in.
Have a call coming in right now, I think. You want to take the call?
Okay. Let's take the call. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Must be Dave and Heil again. Sounds like they're on the toilet. Caller? Whoa, I don't know what that is. It must have opened the garage.
Whoa.
I don't know what that was, but yeah. Anyway, we'll try and see if they'll call back.
So. Yeah, try and call back again if you can.
Yeah.
Let's see. It's just amazing. I tell you, you know, that's what you got to love about a live show. Yeah,
the belt sander that turned on there for a second. I don't know what that was. Anyway.
Yeah, that was interesting.
All right.
So you think you know the answer to this?
I think I do.
Yeah, I got
Let you. Me. Oh, I'm going to send it to you right now on our back channel here so you can see. Oh, you have a caller coming in again. But
okay.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Is this Warbird Radio?
Yes, this is Warbird Radio. You're on the air.
Okay, I'm calling in an answer for that question on the pilot.
Yeah.
Eddie Rickenbacker?
That's correct.
Okay. Wow, cool.
So who are we speaking with?
Ray Hamlet.
Ray, how are you doing tonight?
I'm pretty good. It snowed here, so we're all snowed in.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well...
Well, hey, Ray, will you do me a favor and send me an email with your mailing address to live@rcscalebuilder.com. Can you do that?
live@rcscalebuilder.com.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I can do that.
And we'll get your glue and DVD off to you as soon as I receive that.
Okay, God bless you. Thanks for the show.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it, and call back in any time, okay?
Okay, we appreciate it. Yeah, out here, so thanks a bunch.
All right. Well, that was nice, Mike.
All right,
and,
super.
Yeah, Ray
That's
is
right.
calling, and I think Randy's calling back now, but we already have an answer. You want to take Randy's call anyway?
Let's call him.
All right.
Well, let's get him if
Randy,
he's there.
Randy, you're on the air. Good evening, Randy. Randy still has his buzzsaw going. I don't know what that is. Poor Randy.
Folks, if you're calling in, you got to turn off the station.
Yeah.
And you got to turn off the background noise because the microphones pick it up and it just like amplifies it.
Yeah.
It's really as you hear. But anyway, thanks for calling in anyway, Randy. We appreciate it.
Randy had his video on, so I can attest he doesn't have the buzzsaw. I don't know what it was, but he's just sitting there. So anyway, we'll try it maybe next week, Randy, and call it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, well, that was super. Well, let's talk about upcoming events. There's really only one left this year.
The old Pilgrims fly-in this Thursday. Yep. What is it, Mike? I don't know. What is it?
Yeah. We've got the Southern Dawn Patrol coming up December 3rd and 4th in good old Andersonville, Georgia, down at Mac Hodges Place. And, folks, if you are interested in World War One aircraft, you need to be there.
Absolutely.
It is the place to go in the wintertime to check out some beautiful, beautiful birds. Last year, they had some incredible things there. You know, some actual operating the Lerone engine. I think it was a Lerone engine.
Mm-hmm.
They had a operated model of one there. That was pretty interesting. But you need to check this flying out. And of course, we'll post the details on the episode post on the RC Scale Builder Show forum on rcscalebuilder.com. Man, that's a mouthful. But anyway,
so well though, Chilson,
be sure and check out myrcevents.com for more events in your area. And if your club's having an event, you can post it up there on myrcevents.com. So be sure and check them out. Well, Mr. Jolly, what's been going on with you this week?
Well, nothing you haven't heard about between now and this morning. But just a lot. We've been really busy though. I'm trying to get this Christmas list up. Dadgummit, Mike. We've got a whole big thing to put up there, and I just haven't had time to do it yet. It's just been really busy.
I think what we're going to have to do is plan this one for 2011 Christmas.
No. It's going to be up before Black Friday, I promise. Guys will have a month left to get it all. If they just quit moving Christmas back, I mean, you got to be ready for Christmas in June. It's ridiculous, you know?
You know, it's like we were talking about this morning. I cannot believe that they are playing Christmas music now. Yeah.
Well, hey, you know they are. They are. So. Crazy.
Anyway, one other quick thing, folks. We have a recommended site of the week. I found this interesting site called the Aviation Images and Profiles site. And this gentleman has put together a collection of really nice profiles of airplanes and some photographs. But the beauty on the site are the painted profiles. And so I'll put that link in the episode post on rcscalebuilder.com, so check that out too. And once again, we're going to throw this out there again, folks. If we're looking for a new theme song for 2011, and we want you to participate and help us out, we want you to give us your thoughts about what a good theme song would be. And if we choose your song, then you get a RC Scale Builder t-shirt out of the deal.
That's right.
So be thinking about that, and maybe email in or call in next week on the show. And you know, we'd like to hear what your ideas are. You know, I know if it were up to Matt, we'd be listening to was it Mary Poppins or something like that?
maybe for you, yeah, Mary Poppins. Where do you get this stuff, Mary Poppins?
I don't know.
Oh boy.
Well, but anyway, man, it's been a busy week, and I want everybody out there in the U.S. to know that I wish you all a happy Thanksgiving, and I hope you're able to spend some good time with your family and eat a lot of food and enjoy it, but not too much. And lastly, be sure and get some shop time in this winter.
That's right. Barry wrote in tonight. He said he was disappointed the trivia question wasn't the best turkey call, which would have been pretty good. That would have been fun, though. But
yeah, well, you know, that's something to think about for next year.
Maybe next year.
Well, there you go. There you go. Well, look, I guess we're gonna shut it down now, because you know what? We don't have anything else to say at this point.
Well, we have your favorite song to play, Mike. So we'll go out with that. So
okay, let's do that. Well, folks, thanks again for listening. This is going to wrap up another episode of the RC Scale Builder Show. Yeah. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back next week with another great interview and more information about what's happening in RC Scale. In the meantime, be sure and join us on rcscalebuilder.com for some of the best information on scale building on the web. And many thanks to my guests, and mostly thanks to you for listening tonight. We appreciate it. Be sure to stay tuned for more great programming here on Warbird Radio. And, man, I love listening to your station, Matt. That's all I can say.
Well, I know you'll be home for Christmas, so we'll go on with that. Since you love it so much. So.
Super. Well, until next time, folks, don't forget to measure twice and cut once, and good night.
Good night, everybody. For Christmas. Don't you like that, Mike? Christmas music for you before Thanksgiving there? I thought you'd enjoy that. All right.
All right. Have a great holiday, everyone.